Growing up in the church, I still remember Bible drills. Perhaps you have similar memories of standing at the front of the classroom holding that Bible that the church gave you when you entered the second grade, and the teacher calling out verses, flipping through those pages and reading a verse out loud for everyone to hear. And if I was to imagine a story that could have happened to any of us, I can see the students lined up in a straight line at the front of the classroom, the chalkboard behind them, the felt board to the side. I know that's a little dated. And the map of ancient Israel in the corner of the room. And there's the Sunday school teacher sitting in front of them in one of those small wooden chairs you find in a child's Sunday school class, and a list of Bible verses sitting in her lap as she calls them out one by one. Starting out a little slow, a warm-up, if you will, as she says, Genesis 1:1. And a split second later, one of the students starts to read, In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. And then she says, Ephesians 2:8. And you hear those pages flipping, little hands moving as fast as they can, trying to locate that verse. And someone says, I got it. And starts to read, For by grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is a gift from God. And then the teacher says, Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. And this little boy's face lights up because he remembers to find Psalms. You just open to the middle of the Bible. And his friend next to him, who's a little slow, having trouble with this one, just glances over his shoulder because he can't remember where to find Psalms. But it's too late. His friend is already there, raises his hand and says, I can read it. And he begins looking at these words that sound sort of strange to him as he reads, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know, because he brought the King James Version. And the teacher says, that is so good. Psalms 23 always sounds better in the King James Version, which is true. And then the teacher says, all right. For these next verses, remember, you have to look them up. They are important verses. Now, you may have them memorized, but remember, you have to look them up. These verses are all about God's love for us. And when she's talking, there's this one little girl at the end of the line, a little discouraged, because she has not yet been able to read out loud. She has been a half second too slow every time, but now she is determined. So she closes her eyes and she listens for the voice of her teacher that says, John 3:16-17. You know, for God so loved the world. And the students just started to turn as quickly as they could. But this little girl was already a half second ahead of them. And she says, I got it. I got it. I can read it. And the teacher says, all right. Now everyone listen closely. These are very important verses about God's love for us. And the little girl starts to read. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? But when she was finished, as proud as she was, the teacher said gently, "Oh, I'm sorry. That is not correct. That is not John 3:16-17. Now look down at your page. Does it say John 3:16-17? And this little girl, now a little upset, looked down at the page. And then she looked up at her teacher and said, "Yes, ma'am, that's what it says. And you said these verses were all about the love of God, and they are." This teacher said, "No, that is still not correct." She says, "Well, that's what my Bible says." It wasn't till the teacher walked over and stood next to the girl and looked down at her Bible that she realized the girl had read 1 John 3:16-17. So it did say John 3:16-17. And after the teacher read those verses again, she decided to give that girl credit, because they were all about God's love for us. That perhaps we need them both, John 3:16-17, and 1 John 3:16-17. That when we think about the depths of the love of God, perhaps we need both. Where in John 3:16-17 it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." But also 1 John 3:16-17. We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need and yet refuses to help? That we need them both. Speaking to all of our lives, both spiritual and material, because those things are tied to one another. You pull on one and you end up tugging on the other as well. They reinforce one another and they expand on the other. That we need them both, because they remind us of the width of the work of the church and the depth of the ways of Jesus. Just ask Nicodemus. He's standing there in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, scratching his head, wondering, what does it mean to be born from above? That how can you be born after growing old? That is some kind of change in a person's life. That Nicodemus is standing there, Having experienced a glimpse of the grace that we read about in John 3, 16 and 17, but still trying to make sense of those changes that we hear about in 1 John 3, 16 and 17. That he's standing there at that connection between conviction and change. That since God loves this world, and since Jesus came to save it, not condemn it, and since when love becomes meaningful in our lives, it changes us because it convicts us, and we have experienced that, we end up laying down our lives for others, for a brother or sister in need. That John 3, 16 and 17 is connected to 1 John 3, 16 and 17. That they're woven together. You pull on one of them, you end up tugging on the other one as well. That both of them help us flesh out what the love of God looks like in the flesh. And we see it in the life of Jesus. When he left home, leaving both job and family, moving towards the needs of this world, his first sermon proclaimed the year of Jubilee, the year when the debts of the poor were forgiven. And during his ministry, he never really had a place to stay. He was always moving on to the next place, towards somebody else's need. And when he stopped, he sat down to eat with tax collectors and sinners. And then he died the death of a criminal alongside those that needed forgiveness in a very particular way. That he did not avoid the problems of this world. He moved towards them, reminding us that any time we take two steps towards Scripture, we also take two steps towards the needs of others. That they are tied to one another. If you tug on one, you end up pulling on the other as well. That any time we take two steps towards Scripture, we also take two steps towards the needs of others. And if we don't, we end up misunderstanding what Scripture says. Because any time Jesus took two steps towards anyone, he did so to help the hurting, to forgive the sinner, to free the oppressed, and to call all of those who were listening. And because of those two steps, and those two verses, and those two books, there is a great deal of centrifugal force in our faith. That the gospel has a way of turning us around and around and around, and that force sends us out towards the needs of this world. That we are sent forth. As it says in John 20, 21. And there's only one John 20, 21 that says, "As the Father sent me, now I send you." That we go forth towards the needs of this world. And today, we take those two steps and those two verses and those two books through our global ministries offering, reaching out with an act of love for this world. But not only that, it is also what we do as a church in all we do as a church. Whether we are taking two steps towards a need in our community, two steps towards a friend, two steps towards a stranger, two steps towards a church member, two steps towards a visitor, or two steps towards a need we have in our lives. That it is the hard work of the love of God, spinning us around and weaving us together. The good news is, it is just a couple verses and just a couple steps. Just a couple steps at a time, slowly and thoughtfully, sharing in the grace of God by sharing with the needs of others as we flesh out what the love of God looks like in the flesh. As someone who has the gift of seeing so much that happens in this church, we also must say on this morning, for all that this place does to flesh out the love of God in the flesh, we are deeply thankful. There is so much that happens through this place in such quiet ways that it's rarely noticed, which is so beautiful. That this place has such an important voice and such an important story. So on this day, and in all of our days, we continue to tell it, and we continue to live it. Amen.